Welcome to The Natural View. I'm Maggie Jacqua. I'm the content director of Whole Foods Magazine, and I'm here with my co-host, Todd Polley of 24 Stories Marketing. Hi, Todd.
Hey, Maggie.
Good to see you. And also, we have a special guest today. We have Brendan Kessler. Hi, Brendan.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Maggie. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Brendan.
Yeah, good to have you here. So Brendan is the R&D Innovation Director at Van Drunen Farms and Futraceuticals, and he's currently working on his thesis research. He's exploring the relationship between fiber-rich fruit consumption and health outcomes, and he's working on a master's in science nutrition, and then he'll be moving on to his PhD. He's focusing on the role of dietary fiber, bound polyphenols, and gut health. So he's going to share some of that knowledge with us today. This is a topic that we're excited to kind of dig into and learn more about. So thank you for coming here to share what you know. And we want to start just by talking about fiber and why don't we typically get enough fiber in our diet? You know, we're trying to eat healthy, we're trying to do the right thing. What are we missing?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I usually base my answer off the US dietary guidelines. So the latest version of the dietary guidelines was just published. It runs 5 years, so it's 2020 to 2025. And if you look at the USDA data, and then they also use NHANES National Survey data in there as well. If you look at that, you'll see pretty clearly that of the American population, we have about a 90% deficiency in vegetable consumption towards the target of what we should be eating, about an 80% gap in the amount of fruit consumption that we should be consuming. And then, you know, grains are interesting because whole grains, of course, have a lot of dietary fiber. And if you look closely at the data, you'll see that the American population consumes more than enough refined grains, but 98% of the population is actually deficient in whole grains. So that really cuts to kind of the core of the dietary problem, of the dietary fiber problem in America, is that we simply are not eating enough of those whole foods, fruits, vegetables, and whole grains that contain the vast majority of nature's dietary fiber. So that really is the root cause.
Yeah, so first of all, let me congratulate you on timing your whole education on what's hot right now, because I don't think you could be going into a better area. So exciting things expected for you to come as you finish up your studies over the next years here.
But, thank you.
Yeah, so I just want to dive a little bit deeper into the fiber question and diet question. We know nature provides, plentiful sources of fiber, yet, as you just said, it's not in our diets. Is that more of a systemic thing, reaching back years and years as the food industry evolved, or what is it? What do you think?
Yeah, that's actually a really big reason I've been so interested in dietary fiber is really trying to answer that question of, nature produces all of this fiber in plants. We know that everything, herbs, fruits, vegetables, grains, these are all incredibly fiber-rich, beans, of course, too. So where is it going? We know, why is the American population not getting enough fiber? And a big piece of it is what you described, is just really comes down to food processing. So it really comes down to the way that people are consuming their food. And if you look at the American diet, unfortunately, what you see is that a lot of the calories that Americans are consuming are coming in the form of heavily processed, highly refined foods. And so if you think about, going out to breakfast or lunch, or going to a fast food restaurant, which is very, very common in this country, of course, there's really an absence of a lot of those whole foods that contain so much fiber, or it's at least kind of minimized in those formats. So that really is kind of the key problem, is that we're getting way too many of our calories from heavily refined foods, where that fiber has either been completely separated or removed, or very much minimized. So that really comes down to, probably the last several decades, where we've just simply shifted away from a more whole food centric diet to a diet much more focused on heavily refined foods. It's a big problem for America. Of course, it's not just America. This is very common in most countries that are busy countries that are kind of highly westernized.
So what can we do better? I mean, what's the best way to increase fiber in your diet?
Yeah, so I think the best way is really, if people kind of look at their diet and evaluate their own dietary pattern, the best way is really to take a look at how people are getting their fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. And I think, maybe just a kind of a couple of comments there. One is to take a look at how they're getting those fruits, vegetables, and whole grains and trying to shift their dietary pattern away from heavily refined processed sources towards those whole food sources as much as possible. That's really the key thing, is to shift away from refined foods, shifting towards non-refined, non-processed foods. You'll see that, by the way, in the entire USDA dietary guidelines. The theme this year is make every bite count, really focused on nutrient density. So shifting away from highly refined foods towards whole foods. A lot of our protein foods come from animal-based sources, but shifting those towards plant-based sources, things like beans and lentils, well, those are both protein-rich and fiber-rich. So that's also a really great way to increase fiber while still meeting your protein needs. And also that's a way to get, you know, much less fat as well. So I think, you know, focused on protein foods as well. And, you know, I guess maybe one final comment is, I always kind of like to say that fruits and vegetables really need to be the center of our diets. And so that really is the kind of the foundational problem, is when we look at the American diet, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, they're almost always just kind of the side item. And so as long as those things are kind of marginalized and pushed to the side, that really is part of the problem too. So it's really evaluating your dietary pattern and trying to find ways to make whole fruits, whole vegetables, and whole grains as central to your dietary pattern as possible. Finally, maybe one other comment. Some people are just simply busy. And so for people that have a really, really busy lifestyle, they add it up, they just can't get enough dietary fiber. Those are the type of people that would really benefit from a dietary supplement. And dietary supplements, while whole foods are probably always preferable sources because of all the nutrients that they contain, some people can really benefit from a something that supplements their diet with more fiber. So that's certainly an option for people as well.
Yeah, so as people search out more fiber, and I think so many of us know that's a need, but maybe not sure about some of the details to go about it. Are there different types of fiber commercially available? And if so, you have any tips on what we should be looking for?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Thanks, Todd. If you think about dietary fiber as a category, there are kind of two categories that the FDA calls dietary fiber. You have true dietary fiber. That is a dietary fiber that is intrinsic and intact to a plant. So true dietary fiber is what you're going to find in fruits and vegetables and whole grains and herbs. That's what nature makes is really true dietary fiber. There's another category called functional fiber. And so functional fibers, this is more what you see in the dietary supplement market. These are fibers that have been separated from their plant matrix. Sometimes they can also be simply synthetically made, but these are fibers that are outside of their natural matrix or synthetically made. And they've actually had to go through a process where they've proven a physiological benefit. But that's kind of the dividing factor between what fibers are available. Is dietary fibers are the true ones that nature makes, intrinsic, natural to plants. Then you have these functional fibers where they're isolated away from a plant or actually synthetically made. So with that, there are all types of different fibers, of course, but those are kind of the main two categories that we can talk about.
So let's talk about those a little bit more. So we have the dietary fiber and the functional fiber. Can you just tell us a little bit more about, like, to the body, what are the differences? How are we processing these?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things I think is so interesting about kind of like a true dietary fiber, just the way nature makes it, something that's, again, intrinsic, intact to a plant, is, you know, when you consume that type of fiber, you are benefiting, of course, from the dietary fiber, but plants have all kinds of other nutrients and vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals and all these other kind of nutrient-rich accomplices is what we often like to call them. So all these other incredibly beneficial things that are with that fiber. And so maybe one of the most interesting things, of course, you mentioned my interest in polyphenols. Polyphenols are very fascinating. They're the most abundant form of antioxidant found in the human diet. Very, very important. If you look at like a Mediterranean diet pattern, it's a really key part of what makes a Mediterranean diet so special. But if you look at dietary fiber, it's interesting because polyphenols are often actually found associated with that fiber. So it can be loosely associated, it can be tightly associated, but often associated with that fiber. And so true dietary fiber, I think, is different because it often contains other things that are beneficial to the body. functional fibers are different. And one of the risks of functional fibers is that they may not carry all those things that nature actually makes. Either they've been separated from that, or if they're synthetically made, they're probably very, very focused on dietary fiber, which is still good, still beneficial, but maybe missing some of those other nutrients and beneficial compounds that nature actually creates alongside fiber.
So it sounds like we should be looking for polyphenols and fiber together, or that's, you know, at least that's a beneficial combination you find in nature. Can you talk just a little bit more about what those specific benefits of polyphenols are? We know they're antioxidants. I see them in on the side of, you know, nutritional labels sometimes, you know, as more of a marketing bullet point, but I'll be honest, I don't exactly know what those benefits are.
Yeah, sure. No, that's a really good question. I think, you know, more of the, you know, consumer population is being made aware of polyphenols because of things like the Mediterranean diet. So all of a sudden they're hearing terms like polyphenols, but yeah, polyphenols are the most abundant antioxidant found in the diet. So incredibly beneficial from an antioxidant perspective. Polyphenols in fiber is something relatively new. That's something that not a lot of people in the food industry or dietary supplement industry are really talking about yet. But in academic circles, there are a lot of new research publications over the last decade. This was really discovered when we were looking at dietary fiber. It was found that actually very tightly bound, actually it almost looks like it, like they're bound together, knitted together, intrinsic to that dietary fiber. Researchers started finding these very large polyphenols actually bound inside that fiber. They can be associated with proteins too, but fiber is kind of what we'll focus on today. And so that became really interesting to really the entire, you know, academic world on dietary fiber, because historically we're really just looking at dietary fiber as this interesting, you know, large molecule. But now all of a sudden we had found out that antioxidants were actually bound inside that dietary fiber. And so that kind of changes everything, because if you think back to kind of the beginning of the conversation where we talked about, you know, Americans not consuming enough dietary fiber, well, all of a sudden it kind of changes that perspective a little bit, where it's not just dietary fiber that we're eliminating out of our diet. It's also the most abundant form of antioxidant that we're also discarding. So if we're not getting enough true dietary fiber from nature, we're also at very high risk for not consuming a very high, you know, health promoting amount of antioxidants as well. So polyphenols are really, you know, kind of new, certainly new to the dietary fiber conversation, but I think we're going to see a lot of research over the next couple of decades. Of course, I personally hope to be a part of that research. We'll end up seeing a lot of new research on what these unique things do in combination together. And so the synergies of dietary fiber and polyphenols working together.
Excellent. I know one of the things that, you know, you're looking at is gut health. So speaking of the synergies, like what role do polyphenols play in how fiber is impacting our gut health? Because that's something that's definitely a hot topic now.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is very unique that polyphenols can be associated with dietary fiber. And, you know, one of the benefits is that the polyphenols are going to kind of pick up some of the benefits of dietary fiber. So, you know, what makes dietary fiber a dietary fiber is that it can resist digestion. So it passes through the stomach undigested, often passes through the small intestine. It really reaches the large intestine or the colon, where it's acted upon by fermentation. And so that's a big part of the benefits of dietary fiber. Well, when polyphenols are inside that dietary fiber, they're essentially getting a ride all the way through the stomach and small intestine, all the way to the colon as well. So those polyphenols end up gaining protection from the dietary fiber, where they can pass through the stomach and small intestine undigested and primarily reach the colon intact. And so that's a really unique benefit, where you're not just delivering antioxidants to the stomach or to the small intestine, but actually driving them all the way through to the colon. That does a few interesting things. First, it can create those antioxidants, create a localized antioxidant environment for the colon. So that has all types of overall, you know, just overall gut health benefits. Secondarily, polyphenols are actually very large molecules. So polyphenols can be fermented, fiber can be fermented. And so when these things become combined together, you actually end up increasing the total amount of fermentation activity. So that's also a benefit. When you increase the amount of fermentation activity, you're also increasing the way that dietary fiber and polyphenols can be transformed. So dietary fiber can be transformed into all kinds of short-chain fatty acids. Whereas polyphenols can also be transformed into all types of unique metabolites. The industry calls those postbiotics now. So can be transformed into all of these other things that can have benefits inside the gut and actually reach the circulation and drive health benefits all over the human body. So those are really unique benefits. And maybe one other quick thing, I don't want to give too long of an answer on that, but maybe one other kind of short answer too is, you know, fermentation is actually a very long process. So unlike antioxidants that might reach the stomach or small intestine and be absorbed very rapidly, when polyphenol antioxidants are associated with fiber, they're going to be released very slowly. So that's also kind of a unique benefit, is that when fiber and polyphenols are associated together, it's going to create a very slow, sustained release of those antioxidants over a much, much longer period of time. So those are some of the unique benefits. And I'll just mention briefly too, we're just scratching the surface in terms of academic research on what's happening inside the gut with polyphenols and fiber. A decade from now, we're going to know so many more things about what's happening. So it's going to be really, really fun to see the academic world as they uncover all of these benefits that hopefully we'll find for years to come.
Yeah, that's really cool. You know, from Maggie and my perspective, we often enjoy the vantage point being in this industry where we'll see things on the academic side be researched and then developed into products down the line, which is always really cool to see those benefits come to market. Speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about fiber products specifically. So I understand that Van Dronen Farms and Futraceuticals came together to develop NatureKnit. And I'm wondering if you could talk about that fiber product a little bit and how it might differ from other products on the market.
Absolutely, yeah. So NatureKnit was really kind of the end result of a lot of this research journey that I've kind of talked about for the last few minutes. So, you know, really, it really goes all the way back to the release of the dietary guidelines, where I think, you know, us at Van Dronen Farms and Futraceuticals, like every consumer, we're a little surprised when we actually looked at the numbers of how many people were deficient or not consuming enough dietary fiber. The USDA calling it a, you know, dietary component of public health concern. And then kind of investigating a little bit further into, where is all this fiber going since nature makes enough? Seeing that it really was stemming from a lack of whole food consumption. Van Dronen Farms, our entire history is really around whole food. So really thinking that, well, you know, maybe we as kind of a leader in whole food nutrition can play some type of role in this solution. So that's really how the project started, is just, you know, true research into kind of where America's fiber was going. Like I mentioned earlier, one of the things we found is that a lot of America's fiber is being separated out during food processing. So that's really the first place we looked, is we started kind of partnering with various food processors, whether it was companies making juice or companies processing food or, you know, all kinds of various things, looking at these, you know, materials that were kind of, you know, ended up being byproducts of food processing. And what we very quickly found was that, one, these byproducts can be incredibly high in dietary fiber. So that kind of checked one box, that we kind of knew where the fiber was going. But maybe the most important thing was to actually test it in our lab for polyphenols to make sure that what nature was creating inside that dietary fiber was actually there. And so that was really the coolest thing about NatureKnit, was doing all this laboratory testing and realizing that so many of those polyphenols are still actually intact. We actually identified over 90 identified polyphenols inside NatureKnit. So it was a really, really fun project. Based on that, we kind of knew we had something unique for the industry that could really, really drive a lot of health benefits and you know, start to solve some of America's fiber gap. And so we brought this back and through laboratory testing and just our kind of formulation expertise, ended up creating a very unique novel blend of just truly natural dietary fibers from nature. So we're taking common things that you would consume in your diet, apples and blueberries and cranberries, carrot and spinach. So normal things that your body recognizes as normal foods. And we're taking those and optimizing the blend in a way that delivers exactly 50% dietary fiber and then maximizes that polyphenol content for all those gut health benefits that we talked about. So this was really kind of a fun project for us. Coming from the R&D side, it was a very unique project because we weren't, you know, it was, I guess, taking it from kind of a different approach where we weren't just trying to create something entirely new, but actually looking for something that had been lost and actually trying to rediscover something that nature was making, and nature was making incredibly, and kind of bringing that back into the human supply chain where we can drive all types of health benefits for consumers, which is really what's important to us.
And then another attribute, which you kind of talked about a little bit, the upcycling. When I was on the website earlier, saw the stat from FMCG Gurus. Those guys are great over there. They're really digging into some great data. And they found that 74% of US consumers find upcycled ingredients appealing. And to think, like, it wasn't even a term people knew 5 years ago, but really have embraced it. So they're getting the benefits for themselves and these positive attributes for the planet. So, you know, that's a win-win for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask also just, so another, okay, so we've got the gut health, we've got upcycled, and we know, you know, the whole biotics world, another category that's just, you know, soaring right now. So how does NatureKnit fit into that growing world of the pre and the pro and the postbiotics, and what's on the horizon for that space?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's been a popular question around NatureKnit. And so, you know, when I think about that question, you know, when I look at the dietary supplement industry, one thing that that industry often does is kind of looks at things in isolation. And so when we look at America's fiber gap, we're not surprised that leads to a lot of, you know, GI, you know, gut issues. And so there are a lot of consumers looking for gut health solutions. It's a very, very big category. One of the things that the industry has done is kind of looked at gut health in isolation. So we look at things like prebiotics. Those are substances that go into the gut, and they can stimulate or become substrates to produce healthy bacteria. That healthy bacteria is called probiotics. And so the industry is also focused on, you know, just putting that good bacteria in as probiotics. Symbiotics are kind of a newer term for the industry, where it's a combination of those things. Now you have this also category of isolated postbiotics, which are the metabolites that are actually produced from fermenting different things. And so, you know, I guess my take on that is, while those things are all good things, those can drive health benefits, those are really interesting categories. I guess I would just remind people that nature does those things naturally. And so when you consume whole foods, whole fruits, whole vegetables, whole grains from a healthy diet, all those things are kind of taken care of naturally, where you have that dietary fiber going in and it becomes a prebiotic. It can produce all that good bacteria known as probiotics. That's kind of a symbiotic. And then you also have the ability of both polyphenols inside the fiber and the dietary fiber are capable of producing postbiotics. So those are great categories. But I would just say that there's kind of this natural biotics category as well, where nature, true dietary fiber from nature, from stemming from whole foods, really does those things naturally. So it's certainly a good complement to that, to those categories as well.
Yeah, that's great. Well, this has been such a wealth of information, spoken like someone who's going after a master's and a doctorate and maybe have to defend all these ideas one day soon, right? A lot of good information. Are there any, you know, as we wrap up here, are there any takeaways, any final thoughts you want to leave us with?
Yeah, well, again, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation. I think we kind of touched on it in the very beginning, but just encouraging people to find ways in their dietary pattern to evaluate what they're eating and try to find ways to increase the amount of dietary fiber. So that's something I think really important. Focusing on you know, switching away from refined foods towards whole foods, looking at how much fiber you're consuming, if you need additional, focusing on maybe finding a supplement as well. And of course, NatureKnit could be a great natural, true dietary fiber solution for consumers that are looking for something truly from nature. So I think that's it, but I just can't thank you enough for having me on the show and letting me share a little bit about our passion for dietary fiber and helping people become healthier.
Excellent.
And anybody who wants more information can follow up on the company website, learn more about NatureKnit, and we'll share that when we post. We'll have the links there so people can click through and learn more. So thank you so much for getting us up to date.
Yeah, thanks, Brendan.
Thanks again for having me. Really enjoyed it.